Greetings and thanks for listening to this, the 12th episode of Coffee Before Pants, the podcast for readers, writers, poets, and inquiring minds who want to know. As I mentioned at the end of last week's episode, today I want to talk about three writers who will make you enjoy nonfiction. I know, here comes Mark with nonfiction again. I'm trying to read it myself, more of it. I'm hoping that to inspire you to read more nonfiction if you're not already. I think what I admire about these authors, the writers, although they are not experts in the fields they write about, they don't have a degree for what they write about, they became experts along the way. To expound, say you had a subject you wanted to learn more about, you were very passionate about, say like the history of salt. Wouldn't that be a great way to learn about it? Would it be is to set out to write a book about it? So you do your research. You become passionate about it along the way. There would be a plethora of research to do for sure. If it were a subject you are passionate about, as I've said before, then naturally your passion would come through in your writing. The writers I feature today write books on a variety of subjects, one they obviously are passionate about. Reading their works will in turn make you eager to learn, hopefully eager to learn about the subject at hand. My main point of featuring these writers is whatever subject they write about is not necessarily where their expertise lies. Their expertise perhaps came about because they endeavored to write the book about it. This is yet another effort on my part to get readers to read more nonfiction, as I've said before, as well as to get myself to do the same. But first, it's the weekly installment of Weekly Culture, Coffee Before Culture, and on February 4th, 1938, Thornton Wilder's play Our Town premiered on Broadway. The play went on to win the Pulitzer Prize in Drama. February 5th, 1914 marks the birthday of William Burroughs, one of several figures of the Beat Generation, contemporary of Jack Kerouac and Allen Ginsberg. Burroughs is the author of Naked Lunch, Junkie, and The Soft Machine, among others. He died on August 7th, 1997, at the ripe old age of 83. February 5th, 1940 also marks the birthday of Swiss artist H.R. Giger. He was best known for his airbrushed images that blended human physique. February 4th, 1940 marks the birthday of Swiss artist H.R. Giger. He was best known for his airbrushed images that blended human physiques with machines, an art style known as biomechanics. Giger also later abandoned airbrush for pastels, markers, and ink. He was part of the special effects team that won an Academy Award for the visual design of Ridley Scott's 1979 sci-fi horror film Alien. He was also responsible for creating the titular alien himself. February 5th, 1941, Australian poet and journalist Andrew Barton Banjo Patterson died of a heart attack at the age of 76. Banjo Patterson is best remembered for his poem Waltzing Matilda, which today is known as Australia's unofficial national anthem. February 6th, 1932, French film director François Truffaut, whose attacks on established filmmaking techniques paved the way for the movement known as New Wave, was born. Truffaut directed only one English-language film, an adaptation of Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451, starring Oscar Werner and Julie Christie. February 7th is a big birthday for several writers. Charles Dickens was born in 1812, Laura Ingalls Wilder in 1867, and Sinclair Lewis in 1885. February 7th, 1964, the musical British Invasion began when the Beatles landed in New York City this day in 1964, and two nights later, as Beatlemania stormed America, their performance on The Ed Sullivan Show was watched by 73 million viewers. February 8th, 1828, our author Jules Verne was born in Nantes, France. Verne is remembered for his well-researched adventure novels, including Journey to the Center of the Earth, Around the World in 80 Days, and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. To this day, Jules Verne is the second most translated author in the world behind Agatha Christie. I believe I mentioned Jules Verne last episode, and I don't remember why, but he also is basically the godfather of steampunk. Authors and artists of steampunk owe a lot to Mr. Verne. And the word well-researched, or the term well-researched, is an understatement. February 9th, 1944, American author Alice Walker was born in Putnam County, Georgia. Her novel, The Color Purple, won the Pulitzer Prize in Literature in 1983. February 9th, 1999, British novelist and philosopher Dame Iris Murdoch, who wrote more than 25 novels that were distinguished by a mixture of vivid storytelling, cultural allusions, and complex philosophical inquiry, died at the age of 79. February 10th, 1775, Charles Lamb was born in London, England. Lamb was an essayist and published Tales from Shakespeare with his sister Mary. He was part of the circle of romantic writers, including Samuel Taylor Coleridge and William Wordsworth. And one more, February 10th, 1898. German poet and playwright Bertolt Brecht, whose epic theater departed from the conventions of theatrical illusion and developed the drama as a social and ideological forum for leftist causes, was born in Augsburg. Okay, now let's talk about the authors. My first author that I feature today is Bill Bryson. He received a degree in political science from Drake University. However, his books include several travel essays, Notes from a Small Island, A Walk in the Woods, Science, which is a short history of almost everything, and Language. Well, this is one of my favorite books by him, is Mother Tongue, English and How It Got That Way. Of all the books he has written, most of them are travel-related, some science, some memoir. None of them are exclusively political science, which is what he received his degree in. His writing shows a great sense of humor, dry wit, is well-versed in satire and self-deprecation. Bryson, by showing you how passionate he is about his subjects, is clear he wants the reader to be as passionate. My recommendations for Bill Bryson are A Walk in the Woods, which is about him hiking the majority of the Appalachian Trail. And then Mother Tongue, as I said before, Mother Tongue, English and How It Got That Way. My next featured author is Mark Kurlansky, the author of Salt, A World History, Big Oyster, History on the Half Shell, and The Basque History of the World, among several others. Kurlansky's writing itself is engaging. His subjects are those that, in my opinion, people take for granted. His enthusiasm for his subject matter is like the person who just found out something they didn't know before, and he has to share it with anyone who will listen. Seriously, does the everyday reader focus any thought on the history of salt? It's been an element of our diet for hundreds of years, and yet is so commonplace we don't really think about it. This is the case for most of Kurlansky's subjects. He has written books about paper, milk, salmon, baseball, the advent of frozen dinners, of all things. And if you're curious about the frozen food one, the title is none other than Birdseye. I bet you didn't know that Birdseye was the name of the inventor of the frozen dinner. I didn't. Like many, I took it for granted. Last but definitely not least is writer Mary Roach, who is the author of Stiff, The Curious Life of Human Cadavers, and Packing for Mars, The Curious Science of Life in the Void, among many others. Mary Roach's focus is mostly science, but it's not the science you think about when you think, well, it's a book about science. This automatically, to some at least, brings up memories of college science class with the droll, dry science textbooks. Roach makes science interesting, if you thought that was possible. In her book Stiff, Roach gives a first-hand account of cadavers, a history of the use of cadavers, and an exploration of the surrounding ethical and moral issues. She places each chapter's content into a historical context by discussing the history of the method of using a cadaver she is about to witness. And then in her book, Fuzz, When Nature Breaks the Law, Roach details many ways humans have tried, and often unsuccessfully, to handle animals that might harm humans or damage crops and livestock. These are subjects that, honestly, I never thought about until I read these books. In closing, I want to mention a writer who has only written a few very engaging books on history, although he's predominantly a fiction writer, and that is Frederick Morton, author of A Nervous Splendor. This is one of my favorite history books because it reads like a novel. Morton deftly tells the haunting story of Crown Prince Rudolf, son of Austria's Emperor Franz Joseph, and his city where, in the span of only 10 months, the Western dream started to go wrong, end quote. In Rudolf's Vienna, moved other young men with striking... In Rudolf's Vienna, there moved other young men with striking intellectual and artistic talents and all as frustrated as the prince. Among them were young Sigmund Freud, Gustav Mahler, Theodor Herzl, Gustav Klimt, and the playwright Arthur Schnitzler, whose La Ronde was the great erotic drama of the end of the 19th century. Morton studies these and other gifted young men, interweaving their fates with that of the doomed prince and the entire city through to the eve of Easter, just after Rudolf's body is lowered into its permanent sarcophagus and a son named Adolf Hitler is born to Frau Clara Hitler. This is going to be a kind of a short episode. I've been under the weather for the last week. I wasn't even sure I was going to be able to record tonight. I hope you will come away from listening with a few more books to add to your TBR list. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach out to me on the contact page of my website, coffeebeforepants.com. And also, I mentioned last time, I have an Etsy shop. If you go to Etsy and just shop for Coffee Before Pants, you'll see all kinds of merchandise, not only just Coffee Before Pants merchandise, but literary slanted things. But yeah, leave me a comment. I love getting feedback. Before I say so long, here is the poem of the week. Abundance by Amy Schmidt, in memory of Mary Oliver. It's impossible to be lonely when you're zesting an orange. Scrape the soft rind once, and the whole room fills with fruit. Look around. You have more than enough. Always have. You just didn't notice until now. Thank you again for listening. I'm signing off for the day, and we will be back next week.
Give me coffee. Black coffee. That's it. More.
Ain't that enough, Doc? That's four.
Black or stronger. Keep it coming.
Espresso, please.
You need a cup of my Java.
I'm staying. I'm finishing my coffee. Enjoying my coffee.
Oh, I should have had that second cup of coffee.
Wait! Wait! Where are you going? I was going to make espresso.
Eat! Pants! No!
You have been listening to Coffee Before Pants. Have a great day.